بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In today's recital of the 24th para, there were many ayat, verses, that are worth, the whole Quran al-Kareem is worth contemplating, but sometimes certain ayat, they highlight a particular thing. And it's worth our while contemplating these ayat and thinking about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to tell us. So I knew that I had to come and sit here and talk to you. So while the Quran al-Kareem was being recited, I was pondering each ayat as it was being recited. And so when one ayat came up, I thought, oh, this is a good ayat. Another ayat came up, I thought, this is a good ayat. And so it carried on until the last ruku. And now I'm in a state of confusion as to what I will talk about, which ayat I'm going to pick from the 24th para. It's difficult. Along the way, I think, Ud'uni yastajib lakum was recited. So I have kind of settled somewhere in the middle of the para with this piece of an ayat. The reason being is this is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives freely. I was in the morning session that I do with the brothers in Etikaf. We had a bit of a maths session. Not math, what, you know, some people... What is it called, math? What's it called? Huh? The drug. Meth. Oh, meth. Sounds like math. Some of these might think I'm going to have a meth session here. So we had a bit of a math session. And we worked out that if it's wrong, I'm going to blame them for it, because it was my calculation. It's right. You worked it out afterwards. Okay. I have confirmation that my calculation was right, so now I'm going to take credit for it. And I said to them, in the 24 hours, how many seconds do you have? The brothers in Etikaf can't say it now. You already know the answer. Let's see who's good at maths. Not meth, but maths. I can see some of them trying to work it out. How many hours in 24 hours? 23? 24. How many minutes in an hour? 60. 60 times 24. How many seconds in a minute? 60. 60 times that. You're a math teacher. Let's see how good He's saying my brain is fried at the moment. Don't ask me to calculate anything. So, what did I say? 86,400 seconds. There are 86,400 seconds in 24 hours. And this is for free. While you're sat here, for every second that you're sitting here, you are getting a reward. Every second, why? Because you're in the house of Allah. You're listening to something related about the deen. At the same time, you may be sitting doing the dhikr of Allah. So there are already a number of multiple benefits that you are acquiring just by sitting here. If you had got home, if you had left the masjid to go home, number one, you'd be wet. Secondly, when you arrive home, what will you be doing? Maybe somebody will pick up the Quran for a short while, recite the Quran al-Kareem, somebody do some tasbih. Majority of us will go to the fridge and we'll open the fridge and we'll see what's there too. I can see a lot of smiles. And so I can imagine that actually happens. And we just get involved in other things and then go to sleep, wake up, wasari, that's it. So while you sit here, you gain. And your gain is per second. Those people that work like in a factory or other places, their wage is what? Hourly? They don't get paid by the second. Only they wish they got paid by the second. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so gracious and so generous that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, come to me. You don't have to do anything. Just sit in the masjid and I will pay you for every second that you sit in the masjid. Now what's your payment? In the least, if you're getting a pound per second, and in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's spending a second in his path, in the masjid, you're not getting a pound, you're getting much more than a pound. So as an example, for argument's sake, let's say you're getting a pound per second. So how many seconds will you have spent here in the masjid from the time you came to do your Isha, as long as you didn't go out, and you remain here, and you've been, how many seconds have you spent in the last 2, 3, 4 hours? So many. For 24 hours, there are 86,400 seconds in 24 hours. And if you're going to be paid a pound per second, quite simple, that's 86,400 pounds that you have earned. Isa is thinking, I wish it was that easy. We all wish it was that easy. It comes easy in the court of Allah. Only with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person, of course, makes a sacrifice, if a person is dedicated, if a person really wants a reward from Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you've come to my house, I'm not going to be stingy, I'm going to give you more than you can imagine. And your payment, when will your payment come? In the hereafter. In some instances, if you do a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards you in this world. But majority of our reward will come in the hereafter. When we see our reward on that day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually giving out the reward, then we will wish we did more. Then we will wish that there were seconds in the seconds so that we earned more. So as I was saying, this is a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills du'as. Du'as are accepted all round through the whole year. But there are certain moments and certain times in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it a guarantee that your du'a will be accepted. And the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan are such that they are accepted. So this ayat was read, Ud'uni yastajib lakum. Ask me. Who is saying that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ask me, what do you need? What do you need? Ask me, I will give you. But unfortunately, we don't do that. Because the environment that we live in doesn't allow us to think that way. The environment we live in has programmed us to thinking that I am dependent on someone else and not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what this system does to us. And we need to break free of this system and totally depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I say that, it doesn't mean that tomorrow you put your hands up and say, I'm not going to work. That's it. I'm sitting at home with a tasbih and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to make it rain 50 pound notes. It doesn't happen like that. Yes, you make an effort. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in regards to having this reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that tie your camel, then rely upon Allah. Meaning, you have a camel, and you have, I don't know what you call that rope that holds the camel, you pull the camel by. Said, tie it to a peg. Then have expectation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to keep the camel there and it's not going to run away. That is what is known as having reliance upon Allah. It's a bit of a difficult subject and something difficult to comprehend because our mindset is very different. And so when asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask with the conviction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill, undoubtedly. But with that, we also need to understand that we need to become individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, oh, okay, this boy is only 16 years old and he's been doing tarawih and he's reading all his namaz and he does Quran and he's asking me for this, I'll give it to him. As long as you're not asking for a Ferrari. If you do that, you're not going to get a Ferrari. So within reason. And remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what is beneficial for you. And what is harmful for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not give you that. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's good for you and what's bad for you. I was hoping that you people had forgotten about the story I was relating yesterday. And what can I say to Maulana Abrar? He leaned forward and he whispered to me that I have to continue with the story of Harun Rashid. So I was talking about Harun Rashid. He was a very pious individual and he understood the value of the Quran and the Sunnah. So on one occasion, Harun Rashid was leaving his palace with an entourage. You understand entourage? Big group with all his vizirs and ministers and footmen and soldiers. And so he was in his, that little box they have on the animal, I don't know what you call it, Houd, something like that. So he was sitting in it, and all the people had come out because Harun Rashid was going to Hajj. Harun Rashid was going to where? Hajj. So he was riding it. All the people came out to bid him farewell because he's the king. And everyone is cheering him. The soldiers are moving people out of the way. And this entourage is moving and is leaving. And there was a Buzrug. His name is Bahlol. Now, what am I going to explain to you about the condition of Bahlol? To me and you, he's a crazy man. To me and you, he's a what? Crazy man. We don't consider him as someone sane. And he looks at us, Bahlol looks at us and thinks we're crazy. In reality, it is that way. The person who is engaged with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he's totally focusing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, and his reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to feed him, to clothe him, to quench his thirst and so on, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. That's the thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides. So, Bahlol, he's an ajib, he's a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Urdu, they call these individuals majzoob. Well, if you look at the literal meaning of majzoob, meaning crazy man. But he, in reality, he's not a crazy man. He's someone who is intoxicated by the love of Allah. You understand intoxication, don't you? You all do, any. If you know meth, then you know intoxicating. See, even the small boys are laughing because they know what meth is. Is that the balloon thing? No. Well, what is it? Who? Huh? You know about it. How do you know? Have you taken? Are you a mathematician or a mathematician? So Bahlol, he's intoxicated by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so all he sees is the love of Allah. He doesn't see anything else. Now, unfortunately for people like us, when we live in this world, we associate and we are influenced by the material that is around us. So we don't have that concept and understanding of the depth of the love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he has. So Bahlol is sitting there on the ground, and the king is passing by. And as the king is passing by, Bahlol shouts out, "Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen! Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen! Oh Amir al-Mu'mineen!" So Harun Rashid knew who Bahlol was. They'd met before. So Harun Rashid's animal stopped and he opened the curtain to look, and he said to Bahlol, "What do you want?" So Bahlol narrated a hadith that had reached him. He said, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to perform Hajj, he didn't have this entourage. He had a very simple, what do you call that thing? That thing you sit in, and he had let's call it a saddle. He had a very simple saddle. And look at you. This is how you travel. And you claim to be the leader of the Muslimin. This affected Harun Rashid greatly, because he was a deeni person. He was a righteous man. He understood the value of the Quran and the Sunnah. And who, this is who Harun Rashid was. And so we were talking about his son yesterday. Inshallah, I'll continue tomorrow. This way, hopefully, you'll forget that I'm going to talk about his son. No? Very important to remember is we're talking about Behlul and the love he has. We don't even have a fragment of that. Not even 1/10. Not even 1/100. But we sit in the masjid in the month of Ramadan and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us just a portion of that. Amen. Say Ameen.
Amen.
We're not going to become crazy if we say Ameen. We're too far from that. We have something with us. Oh my. I'm getting a lukma on the phone. I'm getting a lukma. You understand lukma? When the hafiz is making a mistake, the person behind corrects his mistake. So I'm being either corrected or I'm being given a lukma. The box which people sit in is called a palanquin. Palanquin. Or a litter. So you see, this is dangerous. Can you see there's people you don't know who's listening to you? And now someone at home is listening to me. For all I know, it could be someone of the brothers who decided not to come in the masjid. And now he's acting all clever. No, it's not the man. He's one of the ladies. Who asked her? And this is what women do. What tapka marte hain? Those that aren't married will not understand. Those that are married will understand. So those that aren't married, I will say to them, don't get married. What was I saying? There we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us even a fraction of it. And don't be afraid to say Ameen because we're far from it. One sure way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it, it's not a fard, but it's an obligation upon us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in the Quran Kareem. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. What does that mean? Remember Allah abundantly. That means as much as you can. And what's as much as you can? Possibly all the time. And when you do that, then you achieve, you gain, you then begin to realize that there is something that is known as the love for Allah. Then slowly this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases. When it begins to increase, that's when you begin to realize that you've stepped into a different world. And Behlul lived in a different world. Be it physically you're here, but spiritually you're somewhere else. Yeah, do the young boys understand? They do, mashallah. May Allah increase you all.
Amen.
So, since we're talking about that, let's do a little bit. Ready? If someone's afraid they're going to go crazy, then they can leave. So we're all going to sit and become crazy? Inshallah. We're going to follow in the footsteps of Behlul?
Inshallah.
You know, when the walis of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do zikr, that is something else. If Behlul took the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once by saying Allah, that would have an impact on you. I will say it 100 times and it still won't impact us. Hazrat Shah Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, so he is the, well, it's Sunday tomorrow, isn't it? So you're not in a hurry, are you? And if somebody wants to go, they go. They can go. No one's... So Hazrat Shah Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali, so my Hazrat, Hazrat Peer Ghulam Habib Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, then his Hazrat, Hazrat Maulana Abdul Malik Rahmatullah Alayh, and then his Hazrat is Hazrat Maulana Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Alayh. Hazrat's zikr was like that. Extremely contagious. That's the only word I can use because you'll understand it. It would have an impact immediately on the people around him. When his grandson came, Hazrat Shah Muhammad Damat Barakatuhum, inshallah, and he's going to come, he narrated this, that when Hazrat Shah Fazal Ali Qureshi Rahmatullah Ali would go to a particular place, a village, and he would stay there and he would do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so many miles away in another village, the people there would feel the effects of his zikr. How powerful must his zikr be? I mean, I can't comprehend it. So the more zikr you do, and there needs to be an element of ikhlas in it, the more zikr you do, the more powerful your zikr becomes. It's like reciting the Qur'an al-Kareem. When you recite one ayat, you say, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Initially, when you read it for the first time, you have difficulty reading it. Then what do? You read it 2 times, 3 times, 10 times, 20 times, 50 times, 100 times. When you've read it 100 times, not only do you become fluent in reciting that ayat, but also you become a hafiz of it. This is how you do hifz of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And so you take the name of Allah and you say, Allah, 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 Allah. And what happens? It grows on you. It grows on you. And as it grows on you, you begin to develop a love for it. This love is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because this is Ismi Zat. And so that is how you achieve a degree of love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are we ready? So whenever you do the dhikr of Allah, one good thing to do is turn the light off. When the light's on, you're looking around and you get distracted. Turn the light off. Now don't think of who's around you and what's happening, who's next to you, who's behind you, who's... Just think you're on your own. And in your own way, you don't have to be synchronized altogether. You can each just do your own, in your own way, in your own time, say, Allah, 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 slowly. Allah. So when you take the name of Allah, you have to make it count. How are you going to make it count? Not by just saying it parrot fashion. No. What you have to do is you have to think, I'm taking the name of my Lord. I'm taking the name of my sustainer. And when you take the name of Allah, honor and revere this exalted name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see it will have more of an effect. One more time. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وعلى سيدنا اللهم اغفر لأمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا صلى الله تعالى برحمتك يا رب العالمين